Your Locked On NHL, your daily podcast on the National Hockey League. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Monday edition of the Locked On NHL podcast. Gil Martin, as always, here with you today, and glad to be with you to talk about the biggest news from around the National Hockey League. We have got two great guests on today's show. First, we'll be joined by Dane Lewis of Locked On Stars as he discusses the Dallas Stars and their recent six-game winning streak. We'll follow that up with a visit from Seth Tupel of Locked On Wild. The Wild are also red hot right now and on a long winning streak. And then I'll be here, Gil Martin, to talk about the Islanders, the team, the league's coldest team, who have now gone winless in their last 11 games. We want to thank everyone for making Locked On NHL your first listen every day. We are free and available on all platforms. All right, Gil Martin here with you on the Locked On NHL podcast, Monday edition. Always a pleasure to be here. And thank you for making Locked On NHL your first listen every day. We are free and available on all platforms. The Dallas Stars, red hot right now. I know one person who's enjoying this a whole lot is Dane Lewis, our host of Locked On Stars. And Dane, thanks so much for stopping by today.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm glad to be here and glad to be talking about the Dallas Stars in a positive manner, like you said, with them being red hot.
So the winning streak is now at
six.
Six games. And what has been the difference over these last six games that this team is suddenly finding itself?
Yeah, I think, you know, a lot of the credit has to go to the Stars' top line, the three guys on that line, Joe Pavelski, Roope Hintz, and Jason Robertson. Anyone who's been listening to Locked On Stars, especially the past week or so, have probably heard, you know, me talk about these guys a lot. But man, I just think that these three guys kind of got off to slow starts to the year. Jason Robertson missed the first four or five games due to an injury. Roope Hintz didn't score his first goal till November 10th in a loss to the Predators. And I just think they started out really cold, but I think that this is a team, you know, that is relying on these three guys, the three best offensive players on the team, I think without question, to get going. And the team comes and goes as they do. And now they seem to be hitting their stride with Roope Hintz absolutely on fire. He now leads the team in goals. I believe he has 10 and recorded a hat trick against the Hurricanes, one of the best teams in the league. Jason Robertson's been, you know, getting, you know, his fair share of goals as well, but also finding a lot of assists. And Joe Pavelski, I mean, anyone who's been watching the National Hockey League for any amount of time over the past several years knows how good of a player he is. And he, you know, is continuing to play really, really well despite being 37 years old. And, you know, there's a lot of reports going around and videos that have gone on Twitter, you know, that part of that is just his commitment to his craft. There's some videos that were circulating last week of him being the first guy on the ice every morning at practice in front of the goal, working on his redirects and just working on his game, which, you know, you don't always see a whole lot from a guy who's been in his respective sport as long as he has. So those three guys definitely deserve a lot of the credit for the Stars' success because the offense has seemed to hit its stride at this point in the season.
And yet the goaltending has been outstanding lately as well.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been a weird year for goaltending. We went into the year thinking that we were going to be okay with Braden Holtby and Anton Khudobin. Holtby started out really hot and looked a lot like he did back when he was with Washington. Khudobin, not so much, seems to start a little slow. But now Jake Oettinger has come up from the AHL after, you know, we had Braden Holtby feeling sick with a non-COVID illness. And now he's, I believe, 5-0 in his starts in the NHL. And Braden Holtby played one of the best games of the season for any Stars goalie back on Tuesday against the Hurricanes. If you know, for anyone listening, if you haven't seen the highlights from those, go find his highlights at the end of the third period from that game. It is one of the best save sequences. I think he saved three or four shots in a row, and half of them he was like on his stomach grabbing the puck with his glove. So, Oettinger and Holtby certainly deserve some credit as well. The whole team is playing well, but obviously with any team that's hot, there's going to be guys that are helping lead the charge.
And I mean, 5-0, a 1.41 goals against average and a 951 save percentage. Yeah, only five starts, but those are very impressive numbers.
Yeah, especially just for how young he is. I think he's only 22, and Oettinger saw a little bit of time last season with the team just with COVID and injuries, I mean, he just had to be called up. And so he was the backup to Hudobin last season and played really well then and, you know, struggled a little bit at the AHL this season, level this season. But ever since he's been called up, and I mean, you can just see it in his eyes, the way that he talks about playing with this team. I think there was just kind of like a rejuvenation as whenever he got called up, and obviously last season didn't get to play in front of, you know, sold out arenas. And now he's playing. The Stars have played several home games over the month of November, and he's made several comments about, you know, feeding off the energy from the crowd. And so I think, you know, just being a young guy and getting to experience, you know, all that this league has to offer for the first time has kind of, you know, boosted his game a little bit. And I mean, I hope it stays that way the rest of the season.
Rumors going around that the Stars may be shopping Khudobin. What have you heard, and what do you think they can get for him?
Yeah, I've heard some rumors, mostly just today. I hadn't seen too much as far as destinations. The biggest destination right now seems to be Buffalo, which I think is interesting. And also the general consensus among Stars fans is that they don't want him to go there, not necessarily because we want Khudobin to stay. Obviously, with three guys currently playing goalie and Ben Bishop still kind of waiting off to the side, who knows when he's going to come back. You know, I don't think there's an issue with letting him go. I personally don't want to see him go to a team like Buffalo, because I want to see Khudobin go to a contender and be able to help out, just because he's in the twilight of his career. But, you know, if he does go there, man, I'm so bad with keeping up with other teams' rosters and who they have and who they'd be willing to trade in contracts. But I don't really know who the Stars would get back from Buffalo. I would hope maybe some defensive depth. We have some really good top defensemen, you know, Miro Heiskanen, Ryan Suter, John Klingberg. But our bottom defensemen sometimes leave a little bit to be desired. So maybe if we could get, you know, even if it was a prospect, a guy that we have to develop for a little bit, I can see the Stars maybe make a move like that.
Yeah, we'll see what happens with that. You mentioned the defense, the top defense being very strong. And talk to me a little bit about Ryan Suter, because I know, you know, the Islanders, who I cover, were talking to him at one point. He ends up going to Dallas. What has he added to the mix at this point? He's obviously no longer in his prime, but, you know, his numbers look pretty good. And I'm sure he's contributing something to the team's success.
Oh, certainly. Yeah, I think he kind of got off to a slow start this season. But I think, you know, part of that is just being in a new city, being with a new group of guys and having to, you know, get settled in, kind of find your role within the team. Obviously, you know, he played with, you know, Minnesota for such a long time, and even Nashville a little bit. And so I think he just needed to find his footing a little bit. And, you know, like you said, his numbers aren't bad considering his age. And, you know, certainly not a guy that's going to fill up the stat sheet like he could back in the day. But, I think one thing he provides to this team is just really excellent veteran insight and leadership, especially for a guy like Miro Heiskanen, who just signed an 8-year deal with the Stars. But, you know, in his early 20s, a really young guy, you know, who has a lot of, you know, his hockey career left in front of him. But to have a guy who's been, you know, in the league as long as Suter, who's been as successful as Suter at doing what he does, you know, I think if this Dallas Stars team is able to make the postseason, that having a guy like him on the roster is going to be so valuable, because he's been in the playoffs. He knows this league in and out. You know, he's just going to be another guy along with the other veterans on this team that's going to be able to help lead the charge, because I think veteran experience is something that often is overlooked in general on a team, but especially when you kind of get into the grit and grind of the postseason.
Dane, you've talked about the top line. You've talked about the top three defensemen. We've talked about the goalies. Give me a name that national, you know, fans who are of the league, but who may not follow the Stars every day, someone who's contributing to the team's success, but maybe flying under the radar a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like the answer, I've been asked that a few times, and it shifted a little bit. I used to say Denis Gurianov, and I still could go with him. But recently, I think some guys, I'll give you two names, because I think they both provide kind of the same idea. And maybe they're guys that other NHL fans have heard of, but these aren't guys that have always been, you know, center of attention for their teams. But over the offseason, Dallas made moves to sign Luke Glendening from the Detroit Red Wings and Michael Raffle of the Philadelphia Flyers. Two other veteran guys, you know, along with Suter, haven't been in the league quite as long as Suter, but two guys that have been in this league for a while that know a thing or two about the NHL. And again, anyone that's listened to Locked On Stars knows how I feel about these two guys, because they're two guys that have come in, know that they're not necessarily going to be the center of attention on this team, know that they're not always going to get the recognition or the fame or the accolades maybe, but these are two guys that know their role and are very, very good at what they're asked to do, and that's kill the penalty, win in the faceoff circle, and just make smart hockey IQ type plays. Glendening, an excellent guy in the faceoff circle and the penalty kill. And just a smart guy in general on the ice. And again, another really smart veteran. Raffle has made several really, really nice plays, whether it's passing or just stick checks on defense, poking the puck away, things that often go, you know, overlooked by maybe the average casual fan or, you know, someone who's just watching for the first time or doesn't know a whole lot about hockey, but just super valuable plays that, you know, can make differences in games and, you know, breaking up a pass, you know, with your stick that, you know, could lead to the other team scoring or making a really nice outlook pass to a guy breaking down the ice that results in a goal. But maybe, you know, he passes it and then it gets passed two or three more times. You know, you forget about that. So those are two guys that have, you know, played very, very well for the Stars ever really since the season started, even if they're not necessarily stuffing the stat sheet, two guys that I don't think the Stars would be on the streak right now without their contributions.
Dane, why don't you tell our listeners where they could find you on social media and where they could find the podcast?
Sure. Yeah, we are Locked On Stars is on all podcasting platforms as well as on YouTube. Absolutely free, just like this show, Locked On NHL. And then on Twitter, you can find the show just at Locked On Stars. And then you can find myself at Dane _Lewis.
Love it. All right, Dane, thank you so much for joining us today.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm so glad I could be on. Thank you, Gil.
All right. Does this sound familiar? You've got one device that lets you catch the game live, another that lets you stream your favorite shows. You're watching sports highlights on your phone, and you've got your neighbor's best friends log in for the good stuff. Well, I want to tell you about a simple way to get all that entertainment you love without the hassle and a great way to finally get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream, and it brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before so you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes and no need to buy another device ever again. And the best part, there's no annual contract. So get rid of the clutter and the confusion and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. Compatible device required. Content varies by package. Today's episode is also brought to you by Indeed. You want an all-star team? You need an all-star hiring partner? You need Indeed. Indeed is a hiring partner that gets you what you really want, a short list of quality candidates as fast as possible, because you can do it all. Attract, interview, and hire all at Indeed. Don't struggle on your own to find quality candidates. Indeed can help you hire the right people right now. Indeed partners with you on every step of the hiring process so you can find talent with the skills you need through tools like Indeed Instant Match, assessments, and virtual interviews. One of the things I love about Indeed is it makes hiring in one place so easy, and that makes your life easier as well. Indeed makes it easier to find star applicants with over 135 assessment tests from cooking to coding. Pick what skills are important to you and get a clear view of your top talents' abilities even sooner. Get started right now with a $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/lockedon. Get a $75 credit at Indeed.com/lockedon. Indeed.com/lockedon. Offer valid through December 31st. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. All right, everybody. Welcome again to the Monday edition of the Locked On NHL podcast. Gil Martin, always glad to be with you. And thank you for making Locked On NHL your first listen every day. We are free and available on all platforms. The Minnesota Wild red hot right now. And with us right now is Seth Tuple of Locked On Wild. Seth, you got to be a happy man here as we head into the holiday season. Your team, six in a row, is it?
Six in a row. Just took down the Toronto Maple Leafs, who are 15-2 in their last 17 games. And just continuing to chug along. Really the only team in Minnesota that's got anything going, so I'm fine with it.
Yeah, I figured you would be. What do you think? I mean, you've got a lot of players who are contributing to this success, but offensively, this team is just on fire. I mean, Ryan Hartman, did you expect 13 goals out of him through this point in the season?
No. And, you know, the great thing about Hartman is that coming into the season, one of his goals was that he said he wanted to shoot more. And the crazy part about this team is we were, you know, 10 games into the season or so, and Kirill Kaprizov was stuck on one goal. And we are 27 games into the season now. And Kevin Fiala is still stuck on 3 goals. In the past, with Minnesota Wild teams, if you would have taken the top 2 scorers and had them, and I don't want to suggest that they aren't playing well, because they are, just unlucky not getting the puck in the net. In previous seasons, the Minnesota Wilds would have struggled out of the gate because they didn't really have the depth, the balance in the lineup, and we're seeing it this year. I mean, you've got Ryan Hartman leading the team. You've got Kirill Kaprizov, Joel Eriksson Ek, and Marcus Foligno all knocking on the door of 10 goals already this season. This lineup, just from top to bottom, has been absolutely ferocious in 5-on-5. It to the point where they have, I think, the 27th or 28th ranked power play in the NHL. And you don't even feel like it's really holding them back at all, because they just continue to win those battles in 5-on-5. And it's something to say that this team's off to the best start in franchise history, because, you know, they've had some pretty good seasons in the past, but this team just is continuing to look like a juggernaut so far this year.
Yeah, and you know, you wouldn't expect a team that is so struggling so much on the power play to be second in the NHL in goals scored, and yet that speaks to how well their 5-on-5 has been.
Yeah, and you know, it comes down to opportunities late in the game. They've had a couple of games where they've been behind by multiple goals in the last 2 minutes. The Tampa Bay Lightning game is a great example of that in Tampa. Wilds pulled the goalie, and in 6-on-5, they were able to get 2 goals to tie that game up and send it to overtime. They did that on the road against Pittsburgh. This team is never out of a game, and I think you get this mentality in your head that even if you give up 1 or 2 goals early, that you're going to find a way to be able to tie it up, take the lead, and win the game. One of my favorite moments from early in the season, I think it was in the Winnipeg Jets game. Cam Talbot had given up 5 goals on the night, and he had given up 4 at that point, gave up, I think, 1 more to make it like 5-3, Jets on top. And Marcus Foligno pointed at him and said, "We got you." And the Wild ended up going and scoring the 2 goals to tie it up and then win it in overtime. And just everybody on this team is bought into what Dean Evason and Bill Guerin are trying to put out there on the ice. I think that says something as well. And, you know, they're having a ton of fun, which is kind of a cliche thing to say, but at the end of the day, if you're having fun out on the ice, you can make a lot of great things happen.
No question about that. Does what makes St. Paul such a difficult place for visiting teams to play in? Because their home record right now is outstanding.
Well, I think it stems to this state wanting the Wild to be good. And when they are good, the fans seem to respond to that. They've had some exciting games at home, and you know, I think they just feed off of that crowd energy. The game against Toronto on Saturday night was as loud as XL Energy Center's been in years. And you know, it was an unbelievable atmosphere. And so the fact that the Wild are winning certainly helps draw people in. But at the same time, with where the rest of the teams in the Minnesota sports landscape are at, Timberwolves are kind of floundering. The Vikings have pretty much been put away for the year. And the Minnesota Twins, Major League Baseball, is in the midst of a lockout. This is really the only show in town that that is worth anything. So it's a fun time right now.
Are you concerned at all about, you know, the defense, team defense? They're sort of a little below the middle of the field. Both your starter and your backup have similar statistics in goal. Is that a concern over the long haul for this team?
You know, I was concerned about 10 or 12 games into the season that we maybe were not getting the same level from Cam Talbot and Kaapo Kähkönen that we got last year when they were both just brilliant in that. But I think within the last probably 10 games or so, it seems like both Talbot and Kaapo have settled into a groove. Talbot has had several games where he has been really good, and he was really good against Toronto too. He had the 1 goal, fluke goal that he gave up that hit off the back of his mask and went into the net off of a deflected shot off a skate. other than that, he was really good, and he made some unbelievable saves against that that Maple Leafs offense. So I think the goaltending has started to pick it up, and we are keeping in mind as well, this team's been without Jared Spurgeon and has been rolling as much as they have been. When he comes back, that's only going to help out that defense. But you got a lot of guys in that D core that are just playing really solid. Two of their big additions, Alex Goligoski and Dmitry Kulikov, have looked really good for a good majority of the season. And so once Spurgeon comes back, those guys are going to slot more into their natural roles. And I think we're going to see that help the goaltending out even more.
I want to ask you about a guy who, you know, doesn't make a lot of headlines, but quietly, statistically, is looking pretty good. I mean, here is a player who doesn't have a lot of points that I'm going to mention, but, you know, a plus 12 on the season so far. Talk to me about Jordan Greenway.
You know, Greenway is a player who has been an enigma for the Wild over the last couple of years. He's a big physical presence, and it seems like he just has had trouble putting it all together. He has stretches where he looks really good. He's in the midst of one of those right now, where he just has been, you know, this force out there, and he's helping with the line of Joel Eriksson-Ek and Marcus Foligno kind of restore order for this team on offense. It's just, he always seems like you just want more of him. Like, he puts one or two good games together, and you keep wanting more of that consistently. And, you know, maybe this has this time he's finally kind of clicked, and things are starting to work. I mean, he's been great the last two or three games. And so if he can continue that as one of those guys that the Wild are not necessarily relying on offensively, but if he can add that physicality, that that presence, that just elevates what everybody else is trying to do.
All right, Seth, why don't you tell our listeners and our viewers on YouTube where they can find you on social media, where they can find the podcast?
Absolutely. You can find Locked On Wilds wherever you listen to podcasts, free and available everywhere. Also, probably easiest to just search Locked On Wild. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. We've got a YouTube channel that is active pretty much all week as well. And so we're just trying to keep you as up to date on the Minnesota Wild as possible. Fun times right now. And so, you know, we have a lot that we're trying to do just to kind of get everybody ready for what we hope is a deep playoff run this season. And so we're having a lot of fun with it. And we hope that the Wild continue to be up near the top of the standings in the West.
Yeah, so far so good. 4-game road trip coming up, and I'm sure you'll keep everybody up to date.
Of course.
All right. This episode is brought to you by Built Bar. This holiday season, grab the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar, or even better than a candy bar, and that's Built Bar. Filled with so much holiday goodness, rich with decadent flavor, covered in chocolate, but amazingly low in calories, sugar, net carbs, and fat, and high in protein. You get the best of both worlds, delicious and healthy. And they've got so many flavors, you'll have a hard time choosing. Will you choose raspberry or mint brownie? Cherry or double chocolate, cookies and cream or peanut butter brownie? Built Bar gives you the extra fuel you need to bust down those mall doors and battle all the holiday shoppers. Or if you're just standing in endless shopping lines, Built Bar can give you that extra something to help keep you going. So throw one in your jacket or your purse. You never know when you're going to need it, because it's the season of peace and love. Don't bring up your favorite Built Bar at family parties. People are so passionate about their favorite flavor, they'll fight for it, and things could get out of hand. Your friends with Santa? Well, tell Santa to throw a few Built Bars in those stockings. With so many flavors, they'll make anyone's Christmas morning a happy one. Want to cozy up to something warm? Here's a holiday secret. Dip your Built Bar into a piping hot cup of cocoa. Let it melt a little and give your beverage a bit of that Built Bar flavor. Plus, it'll have a nice melty Built Bar to go with it. Be sure to have a couple of napkins on hand. Like some of those marshmallowy treats around the holidays? Well, you need to get your hands on Built Bar Puffs. They're light, fluffy, and marshmallowy through and through. Different flavors, all covered in chocolate. Taste so good you won't believe that they're full of protein. Go to Built.com, use the promo code LOCK15, and you'll get 15% off your order. Today's episode is also brought to you by your friends at BetOnline. BetOnline has you covered all season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before as the football season continues the march to the playoffs. BetOnline remains your number one spot for all the sports action this year. Head to our new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use the promo code LOCKEDON to receive your bonus. And they have it all at BetOnline, from basketball, football, NHL, boxing, and UFC, right to your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right, Gil Martin here. So glad you could join us on the Locked On NHL podcast. And thank you for making Locked On NHL your first listen every day. We are free and available on all platforms. So we've talked already on this show about the two hottest teams in the league, or two of the hottest teams, in the Minnesota Wild and the Dallas Stars. But now, unfortunately, it's time to talk about the coldest team in the league, the New York Islanders. They are winless in their last 11 games, still looking for their first win at their new home, the UBS Arena. And when you think about it, the Islanders were in the conference final both last year and the year before. And here they are in last place in the Metropolitan Division. And what's different? Well, a few things are different about this Islanders team right now as to why they're struggling. Obviously, COVID had something to do with this slump. Missing seven or eight players at a time due to COVID going through the locker room is obviously a problem. And the league really could have and probably should have stepped in to cancel some games sooner than they did, if only because the Islanders were fielding what was half of an AHL team, and they had trouble competing against NHL opponents. But there's more to it than that. There's actually a lot more to it than that. Part of the problem is the way that the Islanders went about making changes in the offseason. And they lost Nick Leddy, traded him in a move designed to A, create cap space, and B, to make sure they didn't lose him for nothing in the expansion draft. And I had no problem whatsoever with the Islanders' decision to trade Nick Leddy. The problem, realistically, in my mind, is that the person they brought in to replace Nick Leddy was Zdeno Chara. And I like Chara, even at the age of 44, I think Big Z can be a useful third pairing defenseman on most teams in this league, including the Islanders. But the problem is that Lou Lamoriello, the general manager of the Islanders, did not bring in anybody who has a similar skill set to Nick Leddy. And right now, the Islanders have five defensemen, when all six of their top defensemen are healthy, and they're not because Ryan Pulock is injured right now. But even if all six of their defensemen were healthy, five of them are just not offensive-minded, mobile defensemen. They are slower-moving, more physical, defense-first defensemen. And what that is affecting more than anything is the transition game. One thing that Nick Leddy does very well and did very well for the Islanders in recent years is to skate the puck out of danger and transition from defense to offense. That is an important part of winning hockey games. Well, right now the Islanders only have one player who can do that consistently, and that's Noah Dobson. Now, Dobson got off to a bit of a shaky start this season. He's come on in the last few games, scored the goal that sent Sunday night's game into overtime with 2.3 seconds left, got the Islanders a point at least in their third straight game. But Leddy is much more experienced than Dobson, much more consistent than Dobson. And look, last year you had Leddy and Dobson who can skate the puck out. The year before, there was Devon Taves, who they traded also for cap reasons. You bring in Chara to replace Leddy, you've got a completely different skill set, and the Islanders are simply lacking a player who can help make that transition game, who can skate the puck out, start the rush, transition. And the result is more turnovers in their own zone, less clean clears, and less of a successful transition from defense to offense. Then the other thing is this. Jordan Eberle is the player they lost to the Seattle Kraken in the expansion draft. And again, I had no problem with them not protecting Jordan Eberle. He's a useful player. He's on a good team, ideally a second line forward. On the Islanders, he was first line. But, you know, the Islanders do struggle offensively, even last year. Well, who'd they bring in to replace Jordan Eberle? They brought in Kyle Palmieri, who has just not worked out as a top six forward at this point in the season. And they brought in also as another candidate in that area. They bring in another older player in Zach Parise. Well, guess what? Here we are, the Islanders, almost, you know, 20 games into the season. And in 19 games right now, Kyle Palmieri, 1 goal, 7 points. That's not acceptable for a top six forward. Zach Parise, 19 games, no goals, 4 points. That's not acceptable, even though he's a third liner. Now, that's just not going to get it done. You're talking about a guy who's roughly going to have a 15-point season with no goals at this pace. So a team that was already offensively challenged. You say what you want about Jordan Eberle, and I explained I don't think he's a legitimate first-line winger at this stage in his career, but he is a top-six forward, and he is someone who you can pencil in with a certain amount of confidence to score between 15 and 25 goals a year, to get you 45 to 55 points a year, and to contribute offensively in a reliable way. Well, Kyle Palmieri and Zach Parise have not been able to get the job done. Anders Lee missed some time due to COVID. Brock Nelson, who is their leading scorer this year, 9 goals in 15 games, injured. Going to miss 2 to 4 weeks, so another 1 to 3 more weeks before Brock Nelson can return to the lineup. And then you have, you know, it's sort of a snowball effect where, in addition to missing Brock Nelson because of injury and also missing one of your top pair defensemen in Ryan Pulock because of injury, you got players who just aren't producing at the level that you need them to produce. We talked about Parise. How about J.G. Pageot? You know, just a couple of goals all season. 2 goals is not going to get it done. Anthony Beauvillier, 3 goals, 7 points in 18 games. Josh Bailey struggling offensively all season long and also missed time because of COVID. But when you already had an offensively challenged team, you'd lose 2 players who are a part of that offense, who help that offense. You know, the difference between winning a game 2-1 and losing a game 2-1 is a couple of little plays here and there, like a transition, like a goal from a reliable player like Eberle. And this year, between injuries, COVID, and guys who just aren't getting the job done, replacing guys who just kind of barely did get the job done, the Islanders are going from winning close games to losing them, and that's why they are on an 11-game winless streak right now. And it's very, very disappointing to a fan base that really thought that their team was a serious contender in the Eastern Conference this year. So is it too late to salvage the season for the New York Islanders? No, it's not. But time is ticking, and they have to do something quickly if they hope to salvage the 2021-2022 season. You can follow me on Twitter at IceWarsNYRVSNYI. You can follow the podcast at Locked On Isles. And, of course, we are free and available wherever you get podcasts. I want to thank Seth Tuple of Locked On Wild and, of course, Dane Lewis of Locked On Stars for joining me today and talking about their red hot hockey teams. It's always a pleasure to talk about that. And I want to thank everyone again for making Locked On NHL your first listen every day. Now make your second listen Locked On Bets, your daily one-stop shop for all your gambling needs. Locked On Bets is hosted by your boy Q with expert analysis and insight from Lee Sterling. It's free and available on all platforms. Thanks for listening to the Locked On NHL podcast. I'm Gil Martin. I host the show every Monday. Have a great day, everybody. Stay safe. And thanks for listening to the Locked On NHL podcast.